You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, I won't keep you long this morning. I know we've got a big July 4th weekend celebration. We've had communion and worship the Lord, but I am going to preach to you. Because you know you need to be preached to. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
But I won't keep you real. Larry was telling me something before church I thought it was so funny. He said this guy had gone to this church. He was a visitor, and he walked in this church, sat down, and you know they had the worship service, and the guy got up, the pastor got up and preached, and he just preached, and he preached, and he preached, and went on and on and on and on. Finally, the guy just gets up and leaves. Then after a while, the guy's still preaching, the pastor's still preaching. This visitor comes back in. After a while, sits down. Then the pastor finishes out the message, you know, and at the end of the service, he's back at the back, you know, shaking hands, and the visitor came by and he said, "Say, I noticed we appreciate you coming. I noticed you got up and left while I was preaching. What was the deal?" And he says, "Well," he said, "I had to go get a haircut." And he says, "Well, couldn't you have got your haircut before the service?" He said, "It didn't need one before the service." Anyway, I won't keep you that long today. Turn with me to Hebrews 8 chapter. Hebrews chapter 8. This has been a great study. We've been teaching on Hebrews, just taking it apart verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And, of course, Hebrews is about Jesus. It's about how great He is and how much better He is than, say, the prophets of old, Moses, the law, angels. His priesthood is a better priesthood than the Levites, the Levitical priesthood. His covenant is a better covenant than the one that Moses had. Jesus actually is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who's mentioned in Genesis, the 14th chapter. And the whole 7th chapter of Hebrews establishes that and validates that fact, that Jesus is a priest forever or continually after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest that came on the scene in the 14th chapter of Genesis when Abraham had returned from the slaughter of the kings of the north. And he'd saved his nephew Lot and had brought back all the spoils from the north of Israel and come back through Jerusalem, at that time called Salem. This is all in Genesis 14. And when he came by Salem, there was a man that walked out. He was the king of Salem, Melchizedek. He was priest of the Most High God, first mention of priest in the Bible. And he brought bread and wine. What does that represent? If that's not our covenant, I don't know what that is. And the Bible says that he blessed Abraham. And the point he made in Hebrews 7 was that the less Abraham is blessed by the better Melchizedek. Meaning that here was a greater than Abraham, Melchizedek, who we don't know much about. But we have one instance there in Genesis 14 where he came along. He was a priest. He was a king. He was king of righteousness. He was king of Salem. He was king of peace. He was priest of the Most High God. He brought bread and wine. He received tithes from Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham gave him tithes of all. And all this is listed, of course, and talked about in Hebrews 7. And then it's prophesied. You have to put it all together, and we talked about this in great detail Wednesday. It's prophesied in Psalms 110 that Jesus would come as priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Starts out and says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies your footstool." Now you know who that is. Who's that talking about? Jesus. That's Psalms 110, the first verse. It's talking about Jesus and the coming of the Lord and how that He will sit at the right hand of God. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. "The Lord said to my Lord." What a funny way to talk. "My God said to my God." I can't even wrap my mind around that. Are you with me? What was going on there? Well, that was God the Father talking to God the Son. "Sit thou at my right hand." That's where Jesus is, at the right hand of God. "Till I make your enemies your footstool." And then he goes right on down that fourth verse of Psalms 110. And he says, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus comes along. He was prophesied to come, we know. His priesthood was also prophesied to come. That's in Psalms 110. There's an example of it in Genesis 14. And then the whole case is made in the 7th chapter. So he's greater than the Levites and the law of Moses. Jesus is. You know, thank God for Moses. Thank God for, you know, there's an old song that says, thank God for Peter, thank God for Paul, thank God for them all. But Jesus is better than everybody. Amen? He's better than every one of them. So the 8th chapter, first verse, starts out and says this. Y'all found the 8th chapter? Yeah. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. Y'all get it?
Yep.
Okay. Not complicated. Don't need a lot of interpretation. the writer of Hebrews is telling us this is the main point of what we are saying. Aren't you glad it's very plain? Well, what's this all about? Well, he tells you, he says, this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have such a high priest, hallelujah, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Aren't you glad? Can you say hallelujah, somebody?
Hallelujah.
We have a high priest. No, we're not under that old covenant. No, we're not Jews under the covenant of Moses, the Mosaic law, under the Levitical priesthood. No, we don't bring lambs, bulls, and goats, and all those things. That covenant has passed away. We have a high priest who has passed into the heavens, who is seated at the right hand of God Almighty. Think about it. This is our high priest. And I'll tell you, it doesn't take a lot of snap. If I'm going to have to choose a high priest, I'd take this one any day of the week. And if I'm going to choose a priesthood to be under, I'm going to choose this priesthood to be under, the one up there in heaven, hallelujah. Not the one down here with a copy and a shadow and just a picture of the real. Now, y'all pay attention to that thunder and lightning, okay? Y'all just pay attention to what I'm saying here. Stay focused. Forget about that picnic. Okay. So it says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Hallelujah. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Think about that. This is the real deal. This is the real deal now. This is the real tabernacle. It would have been nice. I tell you, I know, everybody probably watched Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're looking for that ark, you know. And, you know, actually, if you found the ark today, if it were possible, you know, you could find it. You could take that lid off and put your hands right in there. There's no glory there now. The glory has departed there. The veil has been rent from top to bottom. You can walk right into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have access to God, every single one of us. Back under that old covenant, only one person could do it once a year and not without blood. And that was the high priest. And you know, tradition tells us they tied a rope around his leg. And they put bells around the hem of his garment. Hello? Because if he got in the presence of God and had sin in his life and he died, you talk about wet clothes stinking. This guy's going to stink. Nobody's going in after him. That's it. They drug him out. They take that rope and drag him out. They weren't about to. And if they hear those bells stop ringing, their favorite song, the high priest song back then, was "Bells Will Be Ringing." That was their... I don't know where that came from. Just throw that out, okay? But that was that old covenant. See, now that's not the covenant we're talking about. That old covenant has no power anymore. That ark has no power anymore. Are you with me? It did, but not anymore. Back then, if you touched it, you died. People did die touching it. There's a record in the Bible of people touching it and dying. But that thing is no more. That covenant is no more. I mean, that ark wouldn't hold any power. It was just a copy of something to come. The real has showed up. Hallelujah. And the real is Jesus.
Yes.
And the pattern that all that was made after is in the heavens. And that's the point he's making here. See, we have this high priest, this covenant that we have is the real deal. It's not a man and I were talking about this yesterday. The new covenant is not a continuation of the old. It's not even a fulfillment of the old. The new covenant is a new covenant.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a new covenant. It's not even the same covenant, okay? In other words, the old covenant was fulfilled, completed in Christ. It is done away. It is no more. We don't bring lambs down here and slit their throats and let the blood run down the altar. We don't do that anymore. That is in the Bible, incidentally, but that's the old covenant. Hello? And so there were requirements in that old covenant. See, the covenant we have is a totally different deal. That old covenant was a mutual agreement. There were things you did and things God did. This new covenant is a little different. It's just God doing everything.
Yes. Amen.
And all you can do is believe.
That's right.
There's nothing you can offer God. There's nothing you bring to God.
That's right.
All you can do is believe God and trust God. In fact, the Greek word translated covenant in the New Testament concerning our covenant, it's kind of an unusual word. Diatheke is the Greek word. It's like a testament. You know when someone dies and they have a will? There's no mutual agreement between two people. We call it a will or a testament. Are you listening? Think about it. So what happens is whatever they decide to do with their stuff, that's what they decide. It has nothing to do with you. If they put your name in there, fine. If they don't, you can't do anything about it. You can contest the will, but if it's your name's not in it, hey, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's not a mutual agreement between two people. We think of a covenant or a deal as an agreement between two people, but that's not a real good interpretation. That's not at all what this new covenant is about. Now, the old covenant was about that. And you know what? You couldn't keep your deal. You couldn't keep your part. I couldn't keep my part. None of us could keep our part. None of us were good enough. That's why Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled that covenant. He met all the demands of that covenant, and now we have a new covenant. What's the new covenant? The new covenant is you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus, you accept what he did, because you're not good enough. Are you with me? And it's more like a will. It is the word diatheke means the disposing of one's goods over to another. Wow. Man, I like that. Because that's what happened in Christ. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, listen, I didn't give him anything. Are you kidding? I received what he offered me. Now, obviously, I repented of my sin. Obviously, I turned around and I came to him. And I accepted him. And you know what? He gave me his life and he gave me his righteousness. I don't even have my own righteousness. Having not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And I don't even walk around my own name now, if I know the truth. I'm a Christian. I bear the name of Jesus. When I pray, I don't come in my name. I don't say Father in Michael's name. No, I come in Jesus' name. See, everything's in Jesus' name. Everything's wrapped up in him. See, that's the covenant. That's the deal now. We're part of what he offered us. All I can do is receive. All I can do is believe. All I can do is walk in it. See, I can't meet requirements. There are no requirements for me to meet. I can't be good enough. I can't give enough. You can't go to heaven and say, well, I was in church every Sunday. Lord, you got to let me in. Or, Lord, I pastored for 25 years. Well, I hope you were saved all that time, but pastoring 25 years won't get you to heaven. Did you know pastoring for 25 years, and we're into this month, be 25 years. Pastoring 25 years doesn't get my prayers answered. Did you know I have to believe when I pray? God doesn't say, well, you know, we're going to let you slide this time. You've been doing such a good job. I'm going to let you have it, even though you don't believe me. No, I still have to believe just like everybody. And me pastoring 25 years doesn't get my prayers answered. And I still need to live holy, stay with me, to be a witness, to be, you know, to be a light, and so on and so forth. Nothing gets me off the hook here. It's just my faith in the Lord. I have to keep my faith in the Lord. Keep my faith up. Hallelujah. That's the covenant. Okay. So it says here in the second verse, a minister, speaking of Jesus, of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. This one's in heaven. This is the real deal. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, Jesus, also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law. There were still, even at the time of this writing, people that were still doing the old law thing, the old covenant, the Mosaic law, Judaism. You know, there is a very strange teaching going around now. You might have heard it in some circles and some ministers you might even know that are teaching that God is dealing with the Jews separate than he is with the Gentiles. Now, I believe that when we're raptured and we go to heaven, that God's going to deal with Israel again. I know that because the Bible talks about that in Revelation, chapter 6 on. It talks about the seals and the trumpets and the vials and so on be poured out upon Israel, and Israel will come to God. I believe there's judgment coming, and God's going to deal with Israel as a nation. But right now, there is only one way to heaven. Even then, there's only one way. They have to come to Jesus even then to get saved. Stay with me. Jesus is not a way. He is the only way. If a Jew is very, very faithful to his faith, as best as he knows how, and dies in his faith, faithful to his faith, he will go to hell. I don't say that in a bad way. I don't say that anti-Semitically. I'm not against Jews. We ought to witness the Jews. We ought to pray for Jerusalem. But there are not two covenants. There's only one. The old one has passed away. It has no power in it, nor did it ever have any power in it. It never could make anybody righteous and never did. This new covenant does, and it's the only one that does, and only this high priest, Jesus, can wash your sins away.
That's right.
Only. There are not two. So the idea that, you know, the Jews are okay, leave them alone, they're doing the best they can, we're Christians, we're believers, God's going to deal with them separately. No, God concludes all in sin. Hello. And all of us can come to Christ in faith. And that's for the Jew, that's for the Muslim, or Muslim, however you want to pronounce that. That is for the heathen. That's where, whether you're from East Texas, North Texas, or West Texas. Okay? There's one way, and Jesus is a way. Amen? Amen? And it says here in the third verse, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, Jesus, also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow. Jesus wouldn't be a priest if he came down here, because he doesn't serve this copy and shadow anyway. He doesn't serve that old copy, that old pattern, that old shadow. He serves the real deal. He's in the true tabernacle in the heavens. He's the real high priest. They're just copies. Hello. They were never the real. They were just pointing to the real. Listen, when the real shows up, throw the copy away. I mean, why would you bring the baby to see Grandma and Grandpa, or Mimi and Papa, and then instead of letting us see the baby, pull out a photo album? Come on, let me see the baby. I want to hold the baby. Did y'all see Mikhail today? Didn't she look pretty? I got to say this. She has a dress on that Brenda wore when she was a little baby. So you know that dress is at least 20, 30 years old, you know. Moving right along. So they had a copy, and that's all the Old Testament was, a copy. That's all it was just a photo album. But see, Jesus showed up. Man, when Jesus shows up, you don't need the copy. You don't need the photo album. You don't need the picture. You got the real deal right here. The problem with the Jews when Jesus came is they loved the copy. They loved the picture. They loved it. They loved it, and they would not look at the real. They would not, you know, they were so wrapped up in the ceremonies and the pomp and the tradition, the religion, that when the real showed up, all the religion, all the pomp, and all the ceremony was pointing to, they wouldn't go for it. They held on to it. They wouldn't let it go. They wanted to play with their mud pies. And they had steak on the table. Hello. Now, you know, I heard it like this. All that pointed to Jesus, but see, you know, it's kind of like dogs don't understand pointing. Man, I mean, you can sit there and you can say, hey, Rover, over here, over here. And he comes up and licks your finger. He just doesn't understand pointing. And see, all the Old Covenant, all the Old Testament, all those ceremonies, all those types and shadows were pointing to Jesus. And when Jesus showed up, they ran back over there and licked the finger. And couldn't get to where all that was pointing to. That's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. Well, John had it. Listen, John the Baptist, the first Baptist, he had it. He saw Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I love that. I love how he didn't say he washed away his sin. He took them away. He didn't just cleanse my sin. He got rid of them. Hallelujah. He did. I am washed in the blood. I understand all that and I use that terminology. But technically, he took them away. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not just a clean sinner. I'm a saint. Are you with me? I was a sinner who's now a saint. Washed in the blood, yeah, but my sin has been taken away. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says here, fifth verse, who served the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Everybody say pattern. Now think about the holiness of that tabernacle and the tent and the table and the showbread and the candelabra and all that. And he talks about that in the ninth chapter. He gets in detail about the tabernacle, the tent, the holy place, the holy of holies, all the instruments, elements, the brazen altar and all those things. But all those symbolized something. All those were just types and shadows of something. All those were just patterns. According to the scripture, you can go all the way back in Exodus where God explained all that to Moses. He gave him the pattern or the blueprint to make all this. Why? Because they were copies of the real. Now, just common sense would tell us that as long as that's all we had, we still hadn't got the real yet. As good as it was, and that was the best that could be done until Jesus came, it was still temporary because it was just a copy. It was just a pattern. Well, where is the real? In heaven. Well, now we got a high priest down here walking around. What's he? He's a copy. You getting it? Well, he's a copy of what? He's a copy of the real. Who's the real? Jesus. Well, once Jesus comes, we don't need the copy, do we? Well, see, that's the point he's making. We don't need that. Was just a copy. Those are just patterns. Jesus is not in a tabernacle man-made. He's up in heaven in the real one. Jesus is not just a copy, a priest down here giving gifts and sacrifice. Oh, no. He gave his own self as a sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And he went into the heavens and sat down on the right hand of God forever, making good your eternal salvation. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, because he's the real priest that it all pointed to. You know, Jesus said it this way at John 5th chapter. He said this. He said, around 35th verse or right in there. He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life." Is this the word of God? You better believe it. It is. But you know what? It's only the word to the extent that it takes you to Jesus. And if you never get to Jesus, you ain't got it yet. You didn't get it. Because it all points to Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. So we'll quote scriptures, talk about scripture, but listen, has it brought you to Jesus? That's what I want to know. That's what Jesus wants to know. Because when you get to heaven, he's not going to ask you if you know scripture per se. It's what the point's going to be is, do you know him and does he know you? I never knew you, or I know you. Wow. And you know all about someone, not know someone. So we can study all we want to about Jesus, but at some point you're going to have to come to Jesus. You're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. We can talk about him, we can quote scriptures about him, but let me ask you something. Do you know him? Have you come to him? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you life. I'll give you rest." Wow. Okay. Moving right along here. He says in the sixth verse, "But now he has obtained," speaking of Jesus, "he has obtained a more excellent ministry." Ooh, more excellent. More better. Amen. "A more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises." Yeah. Woohoo! One verse. More excellent, more better, more better. All that one verse. This is not a continuation of the old. No. The old has been fulfilled. The old has been completed. This is a brand new covenant, and this is a better covenant. Amen. This is a more excellent ministry. This is built on better promises. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Thank God for being a Christian. Thank God for Christianity. Thank God for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I don't have to work my way through, you know, lambs and bulls and goats and all the things you had to do. And nobody could do it. You couldn't do all that and get it right. Are you with me? I mean, it was weak because it was in the flesh. It was weak because it was dependent on me. And the strength of this covenant is that it's something that Jesus did. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. "All to thee I owe." You know the song. "Sin had left a crimson stain." And the rest of it anyway. Okay. I'm not going to break off into singing on you here today. Seventh verse says, "If that first covenant had been faultless," now if it had been faultless, but it was fault. It had fault in it. Why? Because it had man in it. It had. It was dependent on flesh. It was dependent on you and me. And it would never work. It never would work. "But if that covenant had been faultless, then no faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." Everybody say second. It's another covenant. Not a continuation of the old. This is a brand new covenant. Hallelujah. Built on better promises, with a more excellent ministry, and a better high priest. Yeah, this is the real deal. This is the one we've been looking for, y'all. This is the big one. Amen. Hello? This is the big one. This is the one we've been looking for. That they prophesied of all throughout the Old Testament. It was finally fulfilled in Christ. You know, I think of what the Bible says about the Jews, and God bless the Jews. We pray for the Jews. We're not anti-Jew or anti-Muslim. We're not anti-anybody. We're pro-people. But there's only one way to heaven. Are you with me? You know what? I tell you what, I believe homosexuality is a sin. The Bible's very plain along those lines. But I don't hate homosexuals. If they'll repent and turn their life over to God, God will forgive them. Amen. Are you with me? We can go right down the list of, things that are acceptable. Living together is real acceptable today. A lot of people live together. Don't move in together. Well, you know, bottom line is you're living in fornication. It's wrong. It's a sin. You can't make it right, no matter how popular it is. Now, I do not hate you. I'm not against you. But you need to repent and need to get married. Because God is against that. So when we say we make a stand and we're against sin, we're not against the sinner. We love people. Are you with me? Concerning the Jews, God loves the Jews. Jesus died for every Jew. He died for every lost person. He died for everyone that's ever sinned in their life, whatever that sin may be. So we make a strong stand on sin, but we make a strong stand on the love of God. If someone will repent of their sin and come to Jesus, God will forgive them. Are you with me? You've got to keep that balance, because then you, if you don't, you'll get to be a redneck. Come on. I mean, I know where we're from. We're in this part of the country. We can be redneck real quick, you know. And listen, I'm against sin. I used to be a sinner. How about you? I got no stones to throw. But I'm not going to say sin's okay. It's wrong. It's sin. It's sin. It's ugly. It's dark. It's abomination. It'll hurt you. It'll kill you. It's ruined our nation. It ruins families. There's a trail of bodies that you can line up from things that people think are funny and popular and cute and cool. Sin, it's wrong. But God loves you if you repent anytime. In fact, you come on. Come on here. Come to Jesus. We'll accept you if you repent and come to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. There's the balance. There's the love of God. Amen. New covenant. Jesus said, well, Jesus didn't say this. Paul said it. Paul said in Romans 10th chapter, I said this about the Jews. And thank God for the Jews. We love them. We're for them. They need Jesus. We need to preach to them. Amen. But Paul said about the Jews in Romans, the 10th chapter, he said, brethren, my heart's prayer and desire for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth. Isn't that good? So he had a heart for the Jews, but his heart was that they would come to Jesus. Because Christ ended the matter. And He ended the matter for you and ended it for me. He is the fulfillment of that old, and He started a brand new deal here. He is the real high priest in the heavenlies up there at the right hand of God, making good for you and I our eternal salvation.